morning, everybody. It is Wildy and Tausch with no Wildy. I think he might be joining us at the 10, somewhere in the 10 o'clock hour. Lord knows with his schedule. But man, are we excited. I'm not going to go through the whole litany of it's the blank edition. It is the Joe Thomas. Finally corralled him into the Everlight Solar Studio. And I couldn't be more excited. Oh, I can't really see him. For anybody on the video stream, A, he's thin and incredibly good looking, but camoed up. Did you get done turkey hunting, or what do we got going on?
Well, I typically don't hunt turkeys in the snow. This is my snow camo, of course.
There's no snow.
Well, I'm hoping that this weekend we finally get a little snow. My kids want to get out and do some sledding.
Oh,
come on,
sledded.
Let's go.
Sled. Hall of Famer. Kind of was hoping you'd wear the jacket. Joe Thomas is going to host for 3 hours. Now you get to see what this grind is all about. A three-hour grind.
I'm telling you, I'm not in shape for this type of stuff
well,
here.
Keep working.
I'm just going to follow your lead, my friend.
You seem to be working. Think you know, it's working out pretty well for you. Joe Thomas here all morning with us on Wildy and Tausch. And, of course, Jesse, what a grinder. I walk in from the parking garage, which, again, is under construction, which that is the best constructed parking garage of all time. But Jesse Nelson, hot off of a big Prep Mania game with Dennis Semerow, is producing. Jesse, good morning.
Morning, Tausch. Morning, Joe. Good to have
morning.
You.
Yeah,
thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Glad we got you in the right place. I was a little worried for a brief snippet of time.
What did you think was going to happen?
You know, Joe and I have a history of...
Well, you typically don't respond to
I don't
Joe.
Respond to his texts. I wait 5 hours until I do respond to his texts. So this morning, he got a text about a half hour ago. Hey, what's the address of this place? Just want to make sure I'm getting to the right place.
Is this your Joe Thomas impression?
It's my someone else's voice impression. It doesn't matter who it is. But I was a little concerned that maybe he forgot we weren't on the square anymore, and it might be a little bit of an extra hype.
It's only been like 5 years since he's been over there. Joe's been in here a bunch, and he's always... You know what's great about Joe? We're out at the Greater Bucky Open that benefits the American Family Children's Hospital. Joe brings food. Joe is in the food game. You got your Hall of Fame beef hat on. Mission Barbecue, you always set us up with that. And so what's the deal here? Did you bring us some food this morning?
Well, it's being prepared right now over at Gotham Bagels. I stopped in. That's why I was sprinting on the way here. Joey Bagels is whipping something up. We got the Hall of Fame beef. We're putting together a new sandwich that's going to come on the menu featuring the Hall of Fame beef. So we got to test drive some stuff here. We got to figure out what we like, what we don't like, what we need to do. And, you know, maybe someday, if you guys are real lucky, we might have a Tausch. A Tausch sandwich.
Oh, does that sound good? I'd have to, I don't know.
The golden
I'd go
boy,
with a fattier
I think.
Meat. Probably like a pastrami.
Oh, we got good pastrami. I can't say it. I can't say it, but I can eat it really well.
So what makes beef Hall of Fame beef?
It's the care that you put into it, right? Just like the care that we put into our bodies as players, you know, the Miller Lights we drank, the Coors Lights,
yeah,
you know, the late nights, the
Wando's
cheese curds.
That's the Wagyu, right? The Japanese, they drink, you know, their cattle drink beer, right? Isn't that part of the deal?
That's right. And unfortunately, I don't have enough leftover beer to be able to feed my cattle. I do treat them pretty well. I mean, from life when they're born until the day that they leave this green earth.
So they're happy
they live
to be born into the Thomas
very, very
family.
Happily. Yes, just like my four children, they are very blessed to be born onto my farm.
All right, so we're going to have some grub, but Gotham Bagels always takes great. Joey. I owe Joey. Joey took great care of us. He set us up at a great restaurant. I can't give you the name of the restaurant, but him and Doc Kelm and your crew, because you're up working out, what, 3 days a week, about 5 a.m.?
Yeah, we invited you. We still invite you.
Well,
you might even be on the
drive.
Chat.
Otherwise, I would. I don't know if I think I got bounced out of the chat, which was fine. But give us a little look at what, because you're yoked up now. What is the normal morning for Joe Thomas?
Yeah, it's straight meathead, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, pretty much total body. But Wednesdays and Fridays, we try to get a little hoops in the morning, you know, get the body, get the mind flowing a little bit, get that blood flowing before you go in and get a little pump session. And of course, Friday is always International Chest Day, you know, leading into the weekend,
yep,
just like we did in college. You got to get swole and get yourself ready for taking your kids to all those basketball and hockey games that they've got, you know, so you look good under your parka.
Don't any of you, do you old guys worry about, because I do this now, even when I play pickleball, do you worry about, man, I'm getting a little older, do I need to keep pushing to to the degree that you're doing, or is it old man workouts where you go in the sauna and maybe a steamer, hit a hot tub, and then call it a day?
I love the old man corporate workout, right? Getting in that sauna, getting that free sweat in. But no, you know, I think it's important to push yourself enough to keep the muscles working, keep the body flowing and mobile so that you don't reach old age sooner than you should, even though as former offensive linemen, NFL players, like we got some miles on these bodies, but I think you got to do enough. But you got to be careful. Like, we're not 25 anymore. So when you're playing hoops, don't be leaping through.
Are you shooting more
other
threes
guys.
Or are you?
Oh, yeah. It's all an outside game. It's very soft, unless you're Andy Crooks. You know, we got a lot of former Badger basketball, hockey guys, and some of them, they forget that. We're not 25 anymore, and they're the ones that get
hurt. Or they're
hurt.
Really chasing their past glory and wanting to put up a triple-double on a Friday pickup
thing. And they try to, and yeah. A lot of times they do, but then they get injured, and then they're out for like a month.
Well, you got Doc Helm there that can help, and he can cure if there is any issues that pop up. Like, he saved, I think I told you that story, he saved a young person's life at one of those golf spots.
The hero we didn't know we needed.
He did, and of course he let make sure everybody knew that he was a doctor like he always does. I'm sure with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, my kids call him Mr. Kelman. He always corrects them. No, yes. I'm Dr. Kelman, all right?
Of course he is.
Let's get this clear.
He's not going to let anybody. He worked hard for that doctorate. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to hit on. I think it's the best weekend of the NFL season. You have divisional games. You have a lot of matchups that have already been played. You got the chess game going back and forth. So we'll get into that. But since the bagel, are you considered a bagel guy? Like, what is your breakfast choice now if you're picking? You're not going to go donut like I do. Jesse used to, but look at how svelte Jesse is now with Madison weight loss.
I was going to say.
Sprinkle one in a fish, or occasionally.
But, so is it always bagel? Is that going to be your breakfast go-to?
Yeah, so I'm not a breakfast guy. However, the great thing about lifting some weights and, you know, throwing the prison weights around in the morning is you got to feed those muscles after you grind the way we do. And so Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whenever I get a chance, I'm going right to Gotham Bagels like I did this morning. Unfortunately, Tausch, you had to sleep in. You had to get your beauty rest.
Yeah, a lot of sleep.
Because you do have a lot of close-ups here. And Pablo, you want to look just as good as you did when you were 20 here.
I come in here at least once, maybe twice a week, and I never have Pablo in here. He didn't come in here when I'm in here. He didn't have a camera set up.
Well, you just set it up, though. It's the biggest weekend of the year, and that's why he's in here.
Because we got, I mean, you're football royalty, man. And that's what it is. You are football royalty, and that's...
he's got a gold jacket.
This is the treatment that you get. I would be remiss, you know, I think yesterday, obviously, the news of Bob Uecker and him passing away. Any core memories from you? Because it really resonated. Obviously, we grew up in Wisconsin, listening to him on WTMJ and on the Brewers Radio Network. All those great memories with, you know, for me, it was on the farm. Any memories from you, and as far as kind of how important to the fabric of the state of Wisconsin Bob Uecker has been?
Yeah, I think for Bob, he just perfectly encapsulated what, like, our vision of the perfect Wisconsin person is, right? He's humble, he's self-deprecating, he's funny, he was a little good at sports, right? He was an okay baseball player, but he just lived life to the fullest. He gave everything he had to this city in Milwaukee and to the state and to the Brewers franchise, but really all sports fans, because I grew up a Brewers fan. The very first sporting event I ever went to in my life was with my dad at Old County Stadium, and I remember, I think I was 4 or 5 years old, went with him and then his work buddy and his son, and both of the kids ate so much cotton candy that we threw up all over our dad's white dress shirts because it came right from work on the way out. But it's the way that I think you're introduced to sports a lot of times is through baseball, because it's the easiest, most accessible to families. And then as soon as you go to a game, you get interested, you start listening to it on the radio, and that voice that you heard was Bob Uecker. And he was everything that you could ever dream of to be the perfect voice of your team, especially when your team is the Milwaukee Brewers. And I would say the thing that stuck out in my brain first when I heard that he'd passed is when I was playing in the NFL, I'd always come home, because you'd have that 4 weeks off in the summer, you know, between the end of mandatory mini camp and training camp, and I would always come back to Wisconsin, go up north and do some fishing. And my favorite thing to do, the most relaxing thing that got me completely away from the grind of the football season, was to turn on baseball and listen to Bob Uecker as I was bluegill fishing off the pontoon.
And a big part of that is because it's a little nostalgic, too. It takes you back to the day where you're puking cotton candy up
that's
on
right.
your dad and your buddies.
It humbles you. Yeah, that's right. It centers you. It brings you back to your childhood. And I've always told people, like, the biggest time in your life that you're a sports fan is when you're a kid. And then as an adult, we're still fans, but we're just chasing the feelings that we had that those teams gave us when we were kids. And so listening to Bob, who was a guy that I listened to when I was a kid and then listened to through adulthood, like it brought back that nostalgia and those feels and those emotions that you had when you were a kid.
And that, I think, is why it resonated. And the fact so many different generations. I mean, he has been there since 71, which is, in essence, the entire time that the Brewers did. It was a sad day, but it was also a what a life that he lived. And it was really moving to me yesterday for the callers that we had that called in for the last 2 hours of our show and how much he meant. A lot of times you just don't know how much of an impact you have on people until you find out later, and that obviously is Bob Uecker. So, all right, great little story there, Joe. We are going to get into some football. I also want to get into, I don't know what this is on here, Jesse. Evan Cohen is the reason Joe Thomas hooked us up when we got set up. Is that what I'm understanding? I'll have to get more info from Jesse. I don't know what that story is. I'm not doubting it, but what I'm definitely doubting if you don't have new Pella windows and doors in your house. Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Plenty of gray, frigid days. Finally got a decent day out there. I think it's going to get freezing again tomorrow, and you want to be snugly and warm in your home. Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with 0% interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But hurry up. You only have until January 31st, so visit PellaWI.com today to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. We will hit on if Evan took credit for a reservation that he actually didn't book and he gave LaPay and I a ton of grief about, if it was actually Joe. Joe is the man. He definitely, you need a reservation, we'll get you Joe's info. He will get you that. We'll talk about that and then all of the great football that is coming up. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I say, hey, I'll be gone in there, but I'll be back from around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
Welcome back in, Wildy and Tausch. Morning, Pablo. Joe Thomas with us. We are super excited. The Hall of Famer. Anything really change in your life since you got that goal? It's been a couple years now. Any really change other than maybe your appearance fees bump up a little bit, the signature's worth a little bit more? Anything else that kind of changed your life?
Kind of a big deal when that's what your job is, for the most part, is signing autographs and walking around and being Joe Thomas. Like, they're going to pay me more for that. Like, that's a pretty good deal.
Being Joe Thomas. What is being Joe Thomas? Tell us. So, now you were over in Europe, and last time we caught up, we could have listened to you tell stories all day. But you were over in Germany. You kind of found out that coaching probably not going to be something you're going to do on a consistent basis till your kids get older. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Just too much time.
Yeah. You know how it is. Like, if you coach, that's great, but that's all you do because you don't have time for anything else. I mean, you're working 80 hours a week pretty much year round if you're coaching college or the NFL.
Yeah. And that's where we talked yesterday before the Bob Uecker news broke. Yeah, you do a bunch of media stuff. Orlovsky does a bunch of media stuff. It's just a much better life. But it's not probably as fulfilling. I don't know exactly. When you look at what Orlovsky was talking about, he's thinking about quarterback coach or getting into that. And I don't know how many former players. You have to be all in. There is no, well, I'll show up here, but my kid's stuff, it's always going to be at the top of mind if you're going to get into coaching. You did that, but you also were able to travel and make it a family affair for the most part when you're over in Germany.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to go to Germany and coach in the ELF, because these guys are getting paid peanuts. Like, legitimately, half of our offensive line was making 50 euros per week, which 50 euros is about $60. So that was their paycheck. So these guys obviously were working regular jobs. They loved the game, or they were in school. And so you had time during the day to be a human being, right? Be a dad, be a husband, go and enjoy the city you're in. But you're still coaching professionals. And so that was what was really attractive to me.
So then you go back and you did a couple of games. You worked with Kevin Harlan. I saw you were up at that New Orleans game. Boy, New Orleans is bad, huh?
They were bad. You know, they were bad before they got injured, and then they lost all of their playmakers. Alvin Kamara was out. Derek Carr was out. Their star receiver was out. I mean, they were decimated, so they couldn't do anything. And the Packers were rolling before the Packers got injured.
Yeah.
So it was just not a good matchup for New Orleans.
So you did that, but you hosted. So you were over in Germany when the NFL did the whatever, the German game. Who was in that game? Jacksonville?
Yeah, so the NFL Germany game, I can't remember that one. I can't remember who was playing
you
in that game.
You were host, though. You hosted.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was. It was me and Colin Wolf from
NFL Network.
Yeah, they're good. So the host gig is like the guy on the sideline that's giving away the tickets to the Super Bowl and, you know, presented by Visa. Thank you for being a fan. And then you also give little hits during the game for the people that are in the suites and people that are in the audience that are, you know, too busy eating pretzels and drinking giant beers to pay attention to what's going on. So it's the same thing I'm going to be doing at the Super Bowl this year.
Well, what are you doing at the Super Bowl?
I'm hosting the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'd love for you to come.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
That's tickets are
down
in the mail.
Down in Nolens.
Nolens, yeah.
Oh,
great
yeah.
city.
What does that mean that you're hosting
that
the
is
Super
a good
Bowl?
Question.
Like, what do you
Man. What does that entail?
Same exact thing. Like, we'll be there doing the in-game, in-house hits, highlights.
In German?
I mean, I guess I could do it in German if they ask for it.
You like, definitely are a Lederhosen. Like, you're a Lederhosen. You and Annie would, and you're carrying those big steins around.
Yeah.
I could see you doing that, eating it up.
Yeah, but I think the people in New Orleans would be a little confused why I'm wearing Lederhosen in New Orleans.
You're doing with like a New Orleans.
I don't know if you've
German
been to New Orleans.
Accent.
There's nothing. There's no off limits in New Orleans.
That's true. The weirder the better, and I'm cool with that. So maybe we should go with that. So yeah, I'll be at the Super Bowl, and Tasha said he's going to be joining me.
In.
So we're going to be hosting.
There's nothing better. So have you done Oktoberfest?
I did this year twice.
Oh,
it was amazing. It was wonderful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Like not only was it fun just getting completely snot knockered.
Sure.
But, when you were there, it's much more of a carnival than you realize, because as soon as you go outside of the big beer tents, they have carnival rides and food, and it's family oriented. It's oriented towards old people. Like, no matter who you are, you can find something that you really enjoy. Like, when you walk in, you see kids in strollers getting pushed around. You see old 80-year-old men falling down. They're so drunk. Like, you get every
little walk of
the earth. There's like 10 million people that go to that thing every year. College kids. Like, it's really cool. So it's really a collection of not just Germans, because it's from the world. Everybody's going there. And it's cool seeing like a big slice of the world all represented in one spot.
What do you what's the thing? You obviously love America, and I'm not, but what is the thing that you're like,
USA, God, USA.
I wish we had this that when you were over there. Is it the bread? Is what would be the thing that you're like, this is what we need back here?
Yeah, so I would say their coffee shops, not like the Amsterdam coffee shops.
I was going to say,
those coffee shops. Although cannabis did get legalized in Germany, but no, coffee shops in the morning, because every street corner has a great place to be able to stop and get some good bread. They have amazing bread over there. Like, I know everybody knows the French for their bread and stuff, not just French bread.
There's not like a ton of gluten issues over there either.
They don't have as much. And I don't know how much that is like just overblown because of our perception. When you're traveling, you're having a great time and you're feeling good and you're exercising a little bit more than you used to. You're walking around the city. But definitely the ingredients they use is probably a little bit better. And they take a lot more care and pride in the bread that they bake. But not only can you get really good breads at the breakfast coffee shops, but you get a great espresso. And like, I really enjoy that like coffee shop culture that they have over there.
Oh, a coffee shop culture. All right. Yeah. So before we get into this week's games, you did the Packers-Saints game. We talk about the Packers constantly. What did you see? Obviously, they played the Saints and they stunk. But
yes.
Just in general, as you watched the rest of their season unfold, what did you see?
Well, what I saw was a collection of really, really good young players with a good young quarterback that at the time was playing really good football. They had found their identity behind Josh Jacobs running the football. Matt LaFleur, I think, has proven himself as a wonderful offensive mind, being able to shift in motion and get matchup advantages and take advantage of little holes in the defense. And given Jordan Love a lot of really easy completions. They have two fantastic tight ends that can block, they can catch. Like, they had things going, but then all of a sudden, after that game, the injury bug really started hitting them. And I think pushing the ball forward for next year, they need to really consider about finding a legit receiver number one, because I like all their guys, and Christian Watson's a great sometimes down the field threat, but he's just not that guy you have to worry about every single time. And he's had quite a few injuries throughout his career.
There's no doubt about that. I still am bullish. He's got to obviously recover from the ACL, but this is what, and I don't know how many years, it's been 6 years since Matt LaFleur got hired. You called that.
I did.
You called it before, I think. No, you called it before anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved what he's done, but I thought he had a tough year. And what I mean by that is, yes, because he did a good job of kind of bringing Josh Jacobs in. Josh Jacobs is not a outside zone guy. That is what the Shanahan and all the guys, the reason that you love LaFleur is because you get all these free plays, the bootlegs, the wide open stuff. And you know how many play-action passes they threw in the last game against the Eagles?
How many? Tell me.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
How many from under center? One.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me? You have this system. You always want to play to your player's strengths. But nothing under center. All gun, because Jacobs likes that duo where you're comboing up and out of the gun more than he does the wide zone. If you're advising Matt LaFleur, we've seen the success. Stefanski does. All the guys that have had a lot of success. It does matter. It is, don't you think it's a heck of a lot easier from you're a great offensive lineman when you can run it under center and do that. It just matters a lot more. How do you balance that if you're Matt LaFleur? Because he had a hard time figuring out that recipe.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, that's maybe two parts, but in the playoff game against the Eagles, to me it looked like LaFleur's game plan was like, to protect Jordan Love. And I don't know if you saw that, because I know he had the injury coming into the game, and they were a little bit wishy-washy about how healthy he would be, how he could throw the ball. You know, even Jordan Love that week was like, I'm fine. Like, don't ask me about it. Like, I'll be fine. And it seemed like with the game plan, they didn't allow him to just open it up and threaten the teams down the field with any of those play actions, any of those shot plays. And I don't know if it was because Jordan Love wasn't fully healthy, wasn't able to throw a lot of that stuff, or if they were just worried that, hey, he's a young guy, he seems like the moment's big for him already, let's not put too much on his plate, let's just try to bang the ball inside and hope to try to keep it close and shorten the game. But I think during the season, just because you're not running outside zone doesn't mean you don't have good play action options off of the duo stuff. It's, of course, not as good, but it's how you teach it, right? It's how you teach your offensive lineman where, hey, the sell of the run is more important than the protection. Obviously, we want to protect the quarterback, but don't give me the excuse when we roll the tape on Monday, oh, I thought this guy was coming, so I didn't sell the run. Like, you need to sell the run, and if you're selling the run, it'll take, the protection takes care of itself. And so I think it's how it's coached, but also, like, Stefanski's been very successful with the pin pull stuff outside zone, not only outside zone, but the pin pull, where it's down blocks and pulls, which is something that Josh Jacobs does really well. Yep. And it marries very well to the inside zone and the power and the duo stuff. And I think it's just a matter of coaching the detail and getting comfortable with your offensive line and letting them realize how much I can sell this before I have to come off on this linebacker that's coming downhill and I have to make sure I've got him protected for my quarterback.
But it is a lot easier to sell when you're under center.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Not gun. And I feel like, and this is where I don't know, it wasn't the knee. The knee was early in the season. Obviously, it was an elbow that happened in the Bears game. Josh Jacobs likes running out of the gun. And it's not as easy to get those big chunk plays when you're out of the gun. Because if you're a linebacker, I don't care how much you keep selling play action out of gun, I'm going to sit there. You have to prove it. Whereas if you're under center, you come filling downhill, and all of a sudden there's a lot of vacant space. And that's the part. I don't know if he ever – he has his system, and that system is very successful. We've seen it with all these coaches we just mentioned. And this year, because Josh Jacobs likes things a certain way, he was a dog. He had a great season, physical, everything you would have possibly hoped for out of a running back. Trying to figure out, he likes being out of gun. LaFleur likes being able to run that play action. What advice would you tell him when you're saying, let's marry this up, but is it just, all right, you have to go with more duo and really sell out of the gun? Or would you say, I want to see Josh Jacobs do more of the under center stuff, and just we figure out how to get him feeling more comfortable with that.
It's unusual that he doesn't like running under center as much as he does out of the gun, because most running backs prefer...
want to get a little speed going.
They want a little bit more speed, yep, because you're a little further away from the line of scrimmage. You're right behind the center. So now the linebackers that are trying to fill their gaps have to be about a yard and a half ahead of where they normally would be if you were offset, because you're behind the center and you've got a chance to run around them. So they got to run a little bit harder to be able to get to their gaps to keep their leverage on you as a running back. And so I think the happy medium between the two is the pistol, is running those plays out of the pistol. And
given, and the pistol, just for people, it's a couple yards closer than what a gun is.
Yeah, so the quarterback's in the shotgun, but a little bit closer, yep, and then the running back's behind him. And the
that's
reason why
Jesse,
it works a lot better.
He has no idea. You're talking pistols.
That.
He's thinking, Lord, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a big firearms enthusiast over there, so he's very confused. I can understand that.
You know me so well, Joe.
But yeah, exactly. But the pistol, what that gives you is it still gives you all of your normal under center stuff, but it also gives you the benefit of the quarterback still being in shotgun and being able to see everything if he is just drop back passing. He's not taking the ball from under center. And when you're offset as a running back, a defensive lineman or a linebacker that's smart, he's going down his checklist pre-snap and knowing what are the possible plays that they can run from here, what are the concepts, and you can cross about half of them off, yep, as soon as you're offset, because there's only so many things you can do when you're offset. Like, it's inside zone, it's duo, or you can pitch it to them. Like, I think the Los Angeles Rams and Kyle Shanahan and San Francisco have done some creative things out of the gun.
It's got to be sellable to the D.
But it has to be sellable. You have to make it look like some of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it just looks like the same easy run or RPO concept that you always get when the halfback's offset and the quarterback's in shotgun.
And that was what I loved, and what Matt LaFleur continued to push is you have to marry up that outside zone with the boot and all the other stuff. And it does put a ton of pressure. If you're not doing that stuff, nobody's going to buy it. And if you don't buy it, linebackers stay at their depth. That stuff is not open. I definitely want to delve more into that, because that's been something that I've questioned a bunch. It was definitely a part of why this passing game struggled as the season unfolded. We're talking beers, German. You know where it comes with me. It's Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it is cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It is only 102 calories. So it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sober, responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Well, I believe this is the best weekend of football in the NFL coming up. Divisional, you got games on Saturday. You got games on Sunday. You got, can this team pull this off? Can't wait to break that down. We're going to do that next with Joe Thomas here on Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
For me, the next year, this upcoming year.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
It's when I'm judging Jordan Love on a lot of things.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Welcome back into Wildy and Tausch. No Jason today. I think he's going to join us Lord knows what time. Whatever he wants, he'll call in and we'll take him.
Sounds like 11:15 for
okay,
you,
great.
By the way.
11:15 will be. That's the old headlines era when the Packers were still playing. Their season ended last weekend. A lot of question marks. We were able to talk with Brian Gutekunst, the media was, and there's some, I thought, some really interesting quotes that I'm sure my great producer Jesse Nelson will have queued up for us later, but Joe, I don't know about you when you're playing this part of the season. You know, if your season was over, this was the time you wanted to tune in and catch games, because it's Saturday, it's Sunday, and all intriguing matchups. Let's jump into these a little bit. When you have the games, I know you're running around with kids too. What is the game that you have to watch on this weekend slate?
I feel like it's the same game for everybody, right? Isn't it Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson? It's the Bills and the Ravens, right? Because those are the two guys that have been in the MVP conversation the entire season. It's kind of gone back and forth a little bit. And lately, it seems like Lamar Jackson's got the edge right now out of those two guys. But I think there's so much at stake for both of these quarterbacks, being that they've haven't been able to get over that Patrick Mahomes hurdle and be able to get to the
Super
Bowl.
Not many people have.
Not many people have, if your name's not Joe Burrow. But I think to be able to have a legacy that these guys want as a quarterback, got to win the Super Bowl.
Is that fair?
I think it's fair, because even though we don't want to make wins a quarterback stat, in the end, you have the most influence over the win and loss, even more than the coach when you're the quarterback. And we know that these games typically are close, and they come down to a two-minute drive at the end of the half and then at the end of the game, and the ball's in your hands, and you got to make something happen. And that's how we separate the guys that just had great stats from the guys that are legendary.
Who would you have rather blocked for? Lamar or Josh?
Johnny Manziel, actually. So yeah, that
no,
was
no, I thought it would be Tim
third
Couch.
Sure.
Yeah. Trying to go
never
through Josh
Couch.
McCown.
He's got
McCown
plenty to choose
times.
From.
Yeah, McCown doing a great job in Minnesota
but
now.
The reason I ask is because, to me, I always wanted somebody. I knew where they were going to be, and I knew when the ball was going to come out.
Yeah.
That's what you
yeah,
want as
like
an O-lineman.
Manning, right.
But when you have Lamar Jackson, it's like, okay, it's going to make things easier because guys can't rush the same way they would rush with a pocket guy. So they're actually very – Lamar obviously is more elusive out of the pocket, but Josh Allen's no joke either. He gets out there. You'd have taken both, but if you're blocking, which one?
Probably Lamar Jackson, because I think no matter what the guy does across from me, he's going to be wrong. Like, if I lose slow or if I lose fast, Lamar Jackson's going to make him miss, and as long as there's not two or three guys in his face, like, in the end, it's going to be a positive play, and I'm going to come to the sideline. Coach is going to put his arm around me and go, hey, Joe, you screwed that one up, but it's all right. We got a first down, right? You know, it's kind of like the guy in basketball, like when Tauscher was playing hoops at Auburn. Yep. He shoots that wild three that he shouldn't have, but it goes in. So he's like,
No. Yes!
Hey, great shot. And he comes to the sideline. He's like, all right, don't do that again.
Yeah, that happened a lot. You know? That happened many times. So you're looking at Lamar Jackson is one of one. Mm-hmm. Is there? I know Michael Vick kind of set the tone, but have you seen he has played the position about as good as you could ask if you're looking at, you know, how to threaten a defense, and now he's added throwing the football into at a really high level, threw for over 4,000 yards. What are you doing if you're a D-line coach? I know the Packers just let go of their D-line coach. I don't believe I saw rumors you were going to be the Browns O-line coach. I thought that was crazy. Because knowing that you don't really want to get into coaching because of the time. But if you were coaching D linemen, what are you telling them how to rush a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen this weekend?
First of all, everything's for sale, Tauscher. It's just the price that we need to determine.
Okay.
So I told the Browns, I said, you know, the price that you'd have to pay me to be the offensive line coach is not a good value for you guys. Trust me, you're not going to get
but
that
let's be
level
honest, the Browns don't really care about value. They paid Deshaun Watson $275 million. So I'm guessing you'd be a great value if
but,
you compare it.
You know, perspective is everything in life. So maybe you can be my agent. We can go back to the Browns. Hey,
D-Watt.
I'll take $100 million to be your O-line coach. It's a bargain compared to what you're paying Watson.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're not going to break down the Browns today. But so what would you tell these D linemen if you're saying – because you have to – and this is where I think it's always interesting to watch how the Packers approach this, where Jalen Hurts last week, do you go and force him to get rid of the ball early and get him uncomfortable, or do you keep him corralled in and force him to be a pocket passer? Those same questions, obviously Lamar Jackson has another gear that Jalen Hurts doesn't. I am always going to say, get after him, get him uncomfortable, and then hopefully you have somebody that can track and not let him go on those long runs.
Yeah, so the traditional line of thinking when you've got a quarterback like that that likes to scramble is all the pass rushers are basically closing the net slowly. You're trying to bull rush. You're trying to slowly close that net around the pocket.
Keeping so that outside arm.
That's
open.
Right. Yep. You're keeping your outside arm free. You're trying to bull rush your offensive lineman, and you're trying to take away the space that he has to operate in the pocket. So if he does decide to leave the pocket, he's got to back up and now run out the pocket, and you've got your outside arm free so you can make a play, right? They don't want you to go beat your guy quick, right? Because that's almost the worst thing that can happen is like, whoop, quick swim move to the inside. All of a sudden, you're running straight at Lamar Jackson. You got no chance, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you do. He is standing still and waiting to see what you're doing, and he's going to do the opposite. And so it's a bad deal to do it like that. However, I don't really like doing that because then you just let him pick you apart the whole game, right? Which is what he's done all season long. And so actually what I would do if I was coaching these guys up, I would definitely play zone coverage behind, right? Because you got to have eyes. You got to have eyes on the quarterback when they get outside the pocket, because the most dangerous thing about a quarterback run is if you're playing man coverage, everybody in the second and third level has their back turned running with a man, and now they've got 50 yards of open field and nobody's even seeing that they're running. So what I would do is I'd play zone coverage behind, and I would run a TE to the quarterback's weak arm, so left, right? So imagine, okay, Lamar Jackson, right-handed quarterback. So over the left guard, left tackle, you run a TE, right? So you're opening up the escape for him to his left, which is his non-throwing arm. The guy over the right guard is bull rushing, right, to try to close that space. And then the end on the right, over the right tackle, is running upfield, keeping his outside arm free, right? So you're trying to make it not as enticing for him to run to his right and very enticing for him to run quick to his left.
Okay.
You've got one spy on the second level who's your linebacker who now can run into the flat, who's got to be your fastest linebacker, to be able to at least put pressure on Lamar if he does try to run. And then once Lamar breaks and gets out of the pocket to his left, the linebacker that's spying him needs to run to his near shoulder, right? Because that doesn't allow him to cut back. All he can do is continue to extend the play towards the sideline, right? Which is what you want, because as soon as he cuts back, now he can make that throw. If he's running hard to his left, it's almost impossible for him to turn and make that throw. Now, of course, he can make an easy short throw down the sideline to his left, but it's going to be really hard for him to hit the middle of the field or go back to the outside. So you're banking on the fact that he's not going to just break contain to his left and then continue to run down the left sideline over and over again, because now you're playing zone coverage. So if you're playing like a cover two, you've got a cornerback that's in that flat that can make the tackle, that's got speed to be able to keep up with him. If you're playing some other variations, maybe it's one of your safeties who's your fast safety. And I think that's probably the best general way. Obviously, if you sit in anything for more than a few snaps, you're toast. But that's generally, I think, the best way to attack.
And then you got Derrick Henry and you got everything else. Who do you like in that one?
I actually like the Bills.
You like the Bills? I like the Ravens. I think the Ravens are too, if there's just too many. I don't like Buffalo's defense. Now, I know they're at home and they'll be able to do that. I hope Buffalo wins. I like Josh Allen, but I think Baltimore is going to be too tough. All right, Kansas City Texans, nut whack. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. The Texans, they're a cute little deal. I watched them play Green Bay. Their offensive line stinks. Like, they really struggled. Our D-line had a field day, and our D-line coach just got fired because we didn't get enough pressure. Their defense now is good, and Kansas City's O-line struggled. They had a hard time figuring out left tackle. Their right tackle is one of the most penalized guys in the league, so I think it'll be a little tighter. But can you go against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead?
No way. And like you mentioned, the Houston Texans offensive line, very poor.
Yes.
Chris Jones is the best defensive lineman in the NFL right now. The only guy that's been better than him during his career was Aaron Donald, which he might be one of the greatest football players of all time. So that is going to be a major problem in the middle of that defense. He's going to be able to put consistent pressure on C.J. Stroud up the middle, making him uncomfortable, making him leave his spot, which he's also a problem running the football, too. Mm-hmm. He's got a little Lamar Jackson in him. But I think over and over again, that consistent pressure, he might make a couple nice plays, but he's going to give you a chance to pick off a few passes. There's going to be some opportunities for some mistakes. And if you give this Chiefs offense and Patrick Mahomes an extra possession, lights out. Game over.
All right. We're going to hit the Commanders Lions later because I want to get into some thoughts that Jesse had about cheering for the Lions. It'd be like you cheering for the Steelers and wanting them to win the championship. All right. Rams Eagles. This one to me is the one I feel best about. And I know I'm not going to tell you how to bet or how to gamble because that's not what we do here. But I think Stafford in the cold, it's going to be a little mucky out. I like the Eagles in a pretty good way this week. I think they played like crap on offense. Part of it was Green Bay's defense did a good job, but they were a little rusty. I I like Philly big in this one. What, where are you at?
So why did the Rams beat the Vikings?
Great pressure on Sam Darnold.
Which is something they won't be able to do against the Eagles. Because the Eagles have the second best offensive line in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little biased. Our guy Hank Fraley is the offensive line coach for the Lions. I think they're the best offensive line in the NFL. Zeitler, Wisconsin Zeitler's boys
being,
out there.
Zeitler being out is going to hurt them. But, yep.
But I think with the Eagles offensive line and their two tackles who are all pros, they're not going to get abused and bull rushed the way they did last weekend. And so they're not going to be able to get that pressure, make the other team's quarterback uncomfortable, get all those turnovers that they were able to get last weekend against the Vikings. And so when you don't have that in a playoff game, it becomes much more of a matchup of who's got the better players. And the Eagles have the best roster in the entire NFL. So I think this is one that I feel pretty confident about as well.
Oh, Jesse, how do you feel on this one? Because we have consensus. We've been we've differed a little bit on, well, everybody's going to go Chiefs. Where are you at on this one?
Okay, so if I'm just looking at all four games, I'm
going... we're not asking for four. We're just asking for the one.
Which one?
Philly.
Phil, I like the Rams.
You do? Why?
I think the Rams are sneaky this year. The Rams are a team that's been under the... There's always one team that goes on a nice run in the playoffs that's a likely... oftentimes a division champion that just is kind of overlooked going into it. And the Rams, I think a lot of people were hot on the Vikings going into that game last week with the fires moving it to Arizona. Sure. The Rams were, you know, rattled with other stuff going on. They play good defense. McVay's an excellent coach. And they have the offensive weapons that they didn't have healthy at the start of the year. And when you look at what they did at the end of the season, they've been so good. So if you trust the coaching of McVay more than Sirianni.
I do.
I like the Rams going on there. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball.
How do you like Matthew Stafford in cold weather, though?
I don't.
He's 1-9.
But I also don't trust Jalen Hurts yet. And maybe I'm one of the last on that island. But I don't see greatness from him the way I think others do. I see Jalen Hurts as more Tua than Mahomes. Like, I think there's more room for improvement still for him to go.
Is he left-handed?
No.
Jalen Hurts is left-handed.
That's your takeaway
That's a new one. I did not know that. I learned something new today.
Let me tell you something. If Jalen Hurts plays left-handed, I totally agree with you.
I am not saying that he looks like Tua because he's left-handed.
I thought you literally just said that.
Not winning a bunch of big games in his career.
Did he not go to a Super Bowl and outplay Mahomes in a Super Bowl?
He went to a Super Bowl.
Didn't he outplay Mahomes too? I'm just curious.
I don't think he outplayed Mahomes in that game. I mean, the turf outplayed everybody in that game.
Oh, burn.
Yeah. I was late to the party on Lamar Jackson. I might be late to the party on Jalen Hurts. But I don't, like, even last week against the Packers, did you see Jalen Hurts, like,
no, he
carving
did not play
us
well.
Up? You're like, wow, he's great. Like, I don't see him being a big game quarterback. Okay. So I like Stafford in that situation, even though it's outdoors in the cold.
All right. Well, that's the beauty of this. We'll find that out. We're going to hit on the Lions Commanders later, and I really want to hear Joe's opinion on Jesse's take on rooting for the Detroit Lions. All right, we have trivia. Joe, you ready for a little trivia? This is always one of our favorite parts.
Yeah, I'm always really good at trivia.
What's your favorite number outside of 72?
73.
Okay. Is that too many?
I am not taking 73 calls. No.
All right, 73 divided by 10 is what? 7.3. We'll call her 7.3.
All right, perfect.
So I don't know who that would be.
How about caller 7? That sounds delightful.
We'll do caller 7 today. God, we're just acquiescing to everything Jesse Nelson wants. What's the category in today's trivia?
Today's Wildy and Tausch trivia category, Average Joes.
Oh.
Questions about people named Joe not as Hall of Fame worthy as Joe Thomas.
All right, I do not know the number here. Can you? 844-770-3776.
You nailed
there
it.
There we go. 844-770-3776. That's that repetition. That happens with radio, guys. That's why we love it. Caller 7 for Average Joe Trivia. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The Ohio State Buckeye.
I just want to win a national championship.
The College Football Playoff National Championship. Presented by AT&T. Coverage begins Monday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Right, 73 callers. Way to go, Jesse. Wildy and Tausch back with you. Jason joining us a little bit later. Joe Thomas. Man, great to have Joe in office. Going to try to get him a cup of coffee here. Get him cranked up. Trivia today. Average Joe or not your average Joe. And we have our not your average Elijah in Poinette. Great little supper club down there in Poinette. What is that supper club down there in Poinette, Elijah?
I think you're talking about Owl's Nest.
Maybe. It's right on the water. It's right down there on the water. Oh. Great fish fry.
Parker's Resort.
Could be.
Are you going to know it if he says the name of it?
If it really rang a bell, yes. But obviously that did not happen.
We got a few. We got Fitz's.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. It's one of those.
It's all good.
You have no idea what one
I love Poinette. It's a great little community down there up north there on the way. All right. You want to say hello to Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, Elijah?
Sure. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great. Good to chat with you today.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, what's the name of that?
I was just thinking about you. I haven't heard you on the radio for a while. I used to be on, you know, every so often.
Yeah, doesn't he need to come around more often, Elijah? First off, it'd be great if our producer would answer his texts and, like, actually do it. That would
be a good first start.
Outside of that, yeah, what else can we do, Joe?
But it's great to, you know, actually be invited.
Get and you
I
a
come
cup
down,
coffee.
You know, the last time I showed up, the security escorted me back to my
it's
car.
True.
I'm glad I didn't get arrested.
You're a very intimidating guy.
I'm glad the sheriff, Calvin Barrett, didn't throw me in the clink there. Former teammate.
Calvin, he's the man. All right, here we go, Elijah. First question. Which Italian-American actor is known for his roles in Goodfellas, Raging Bull, My Cousin Vinny, and Home Alone? Is it Joe Pesci, Joe Keery, or Joe DiMaggio? There's not even really anything funny. Wow, that was pretty good.
Who came up with those options?
Well done.
That was an easy one.
Joe, you got question two?
Question number two. We've got, at which of these schools did Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow not play college football? Is it LSU, Clemson, or Ohio State?
Clemson.
Dang. Well done. Joe Burrow. What do we think of Joe Burrow? He's obviously great, but...
Great when they get in the playoffs.
He's not... Can you put him in the same level with Lamar? Obviously, Mahomes up here.
He does different things, but I think he just doesn't have the quality of talent around him that those other guys do to be able to fully, you know, win the Super Bowl.
Does Josh Allen have that much more talent than Joe? Joe Burrow's got Jamar Chase and T.
But
Higgins.
On defense, their defense is Swiss cheese, man. They can't
Buffalo's
stop anybody.
Buffalo's
have
defense.
Have you seen what Joe Burrow did this year?
He was impressive.
He set the league on fire.
He was impressive.
They got everything he could have. Now, he doesn't run the ball, so he doesn't look as multidimensional, but he's a much more talented thrower of the
football
than Josh
Allen.
Listen,
I love Joe Burrow, but I feel like we give him a lot of passes. All right, last one. Which of these famous boy bands features a member named Joe? Is it One Direction, Backstreet Boys, or Jonas Brothers?
God, I have no idea. Oh.
I wouldn't have either. I think we have a perfect week going.
It is a perfect week.
Hey, just wait a second, Elijah. Well, hold on.
No pressure here.
Elijah, we have a perfect week going. And this
is a very
important
question.
If you get this wrong, you ruin a perfect week. If you get it right, it's salutations across the board.
And it's Friday.
So no pressure. Okay, what do you got?
Do the Jonas Brothers all start with a J?
Oh, you tell me.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I wish my sister was riding with me. She's not.
Why don't you call your text your Okay, what are we thinking?
How many times friends have I are said frowned that upon. In my life?
Let's go with Backstreet Boys.
Oh, dude. Elijah, you talked yourself out of it.
You gotta go with your gut.
In fairness, I don't think we did trivia on Monday, so it wouldn't have been a perfect week anyways.
It would have been a perfect week with an asterisk.
Yeah, asterized it. All right, you got two out of three, so that's three entries in, and Jesse will probably forget to draw, so we'll probably let you know on Monday.
We're going to have Joe draw.
Elijah, have a great weekend. We appreciate your support, and pretty good job on trivia. You just stick with your gut next time.
All right. Hey, you guys have a good day. Thank you.
You too. Elijah, great little spot up in Poinet that I cannot remember the name of. What's your, are you a supper club guy?
I do like supper clubs, but I don't have the knowledge that you do. Didn't you do a show?
I did. I love across. I love a good supper club.
Well, not country, but going across Wisconsin, state, visiting the.
I don't know if there's. I love dive bars and I love supper clubs. And the Friday night supper club with the fish fry, you get the little relish. Not that you ever eat anything off the relish tray.
Oh, I love the relish tray.
What's your go-to off the relish?
Pickle turnips. Okay. You know, pickled onions. Anything pickled.
So now that you're living off the land.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What is
no
your,
electricity.
You don't do
off
anything.
Grid,
yet.
Homeschool.
What is your?
I make my own clothes for my children.
What is your favorite thing you grow?
Outside of Hall of Fame beef.
Outside of the Hall of Fame of beef. Yeah, of course.
A tomato.
Just a good, like a beef steak, or what do we got? What's your go-to?
I do like the beef steak. Yeah, the heirloom. Tomatoes are amazing because when you buy a tomato in the store, they pick it when it's green. You know, unless you go to the farmer's market, like you're getting a tomato that's ripe, but not all that ripe. But when you pick it from your garden, it's like a day from being rotten. So it's as juicy and tender and sweet as you'll ever get a tomato. And you cut up those big beef steaks and it looks like the inside of a
mozzarella.
It's got like all the little wavy lines and stuff. And you can put anything on it, right? A little mozzarella. Mm-hmm. You can make it on a BLT, which is my kid's favorite. You can just eat it with cottage cheese and pepper, which I love to do
cottage
in the summer.
Cottage cheese and pepper. That's
it's
why
fantastic.
You're healthy.
You should try it.
It's you're great. 100% right.
Yeah,
I should.
It's delightful.
All right. 10 o'clock hour will be in 2 minutes. We have some great audio from Brian Gutekunst that I want to get Joe's reaction to about kind of where this team's at and kind of relay it back to his playing days. We will do that in 2 minutes.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.